You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Revelations 3 verse 1, we are in our series Overcomer, meaning that you are more than just a Christian, you are an overcomer. And so we want to go straight into this. The Bible says in Revelations 3 verse 1, "And to the angel of the church at Sardis write these things, saying, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, you have received and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour when I come on you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in a white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, you would take over this service. Father, give me strength to preach your word in a way that would glorify you. And most of all, let Jesus be magnified. And all God's people said, amen. And so we are in the church Sardis. Have we got the map? Can we put the map up? And so we are looking at Sardis there. Can you see that? Everyone can see it? Amen. Give me an amen if you can see it. Hallelujah. And so we've done Ephesus. We've done Smyrna. We did Thyatira and Pergamon. And so there we are, Sardis. And so you can see just in the area there. There are many stories and historical things that we could talk about this city. But I want to kind of just leap straight in and say, in this passage of scripture, we spoke about the breakdown of the letters. How many can remember the breakdown of the letter? Each letter has a breakdown. How many of you remember that? None of you. Okay, praise God. I know I'm doing a good job. Hallelujah. I'm a pastor. Get me out of here. Okay, so the first thing is who it's to. Remember that? Amen. Some of you are getting, you've only been going on about it for 4 weeks. Amen. Oh, we get it. The second is how Jesus introduces himself. How many remember that? Yeah. Then he goes into the good news. Then after the good news, you're going to get this, is the bad news. Oh, my days. Theologians. And then at the end, he tells us how to fix it. And so that's the letter. Who it's to, Jesus introduces himself, the good news, the bad news, and then basically how you're going to fix it. And that's when he says about being an overcomer to all of them. And he says, he that has an ear to hear. And so we've been going through these letters. And so now we're at Sardis. And so Jesus, obviously, he speaks to the church in Sardis within the letter. Jesus reveals himself as the one who has the seven spirits. That's very mysterious. There's many different people can debate about what that is. And he says the seven stars. And so reality is, we see that there's one here. He's working with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And also we see that he's in the midst of the seven stars. And so the next thing in most letters, after who it's to, after the introduction, would be what? The good news. But there's actually something missing in this letter. In this letter, there is no good news. He actually doesn't say, because when we read the letter, he says, "I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. That's what he says to them. And really, he goes straight into the rebuke. It's just bad news. How many know when Jesus said there's no good news? That's bad news. And so we see something about this church. And Jesus goes straight in and he says, you know, I know you guys. I know what you're doing. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. What does he mean by you have a name? He's talking about you have a reputation. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. And what he's saying is, because when you read later on, verse 2, he says, be watchful and strengthen those things which remain. So he says, strengthen the things that are still alive. So there's something still there, and he says, that are ready to die. And so even though he's saying you're dead, what he's saying is that really you're dying. This thing is dying inside of you. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Now, this speaks to us on many levels. One is a personal level. On a personal level, what does that mean? Is that you could look like you're doing well. You may have a reputation of doing well. People may look at you and you are renowned for doing well. You are what people think about you. And what that really means is you can talk a good one. You could talk about this and talk about that. And when there's a Bible study, you can open your mouth and say a lot of good things. But you could be dead or dying spiritually. Not only does it speak to us on a personal level, it speaks to us on a positional level. What do I mean by that? The title that you hold, the ministry that you hold. You may hold a ministry. You may hold a title. You could be called pastor, but you could still be dead. Because he says, listen, you have a name. You have a title. People think, oh, you must be on fire for God. You must be really serious about God, man. Look at that person. Look at pastor. He must be serious. He's a pastor. Can I say to you today, just because you have the title pastor, don't make you on fire for God. Just because you are on the council doesn't mean that you're on fire for God. Just because you're a home group leader, just because you're involved in different ministries within the church, yes, you have a name. Yes, you have a title. Yes, you have an accolade. You're involved, but that doesn't mean. It could be spoken not just personally or positionally, it could be spoken corporately, even about the church. That from a distance, a church can be known for being, yeah, that's a powerhouse for Jesus, man. That church is powerful. You could look at some of the videos they have. You could look at some of the music they produce. You can look at some of the testimonies that they have. And you could have an outside perspective about that church. And you'd be like, yeah, that church is living. That church is alive. See, I've preached in different churches. And I've been to different churches. And some churches I've been to, let me just say that, not preaching in the churches, because, you know, but some churches that I've been to, visited before I was saved, since I was saved, some of them feel dead. How many ever been to a dead church? It felt dead. It just felt dead. Hopefully it wasn't this one. Some of you, yeah, you went. No. And so, but Jesus is not saying that this is that kind of church. This is the type of church that actually, it has a name of being alive. And what it is, let's bring it personal. People could be saying things about Wandsworth. People could be thinking things about Wandsworth. Where are you from? You go conference, you're there. Hey, where are you from? We're from, oh, we've seen your website. That's powerful. We could have a name. We could have a name. But Jesus says, listen, you could be dead. See, What Jesus is revealing here is that assumptions are dangerous. Assumptions that you assume something and you could be totally wrong. Remember this, that, let me just, before I even go into that, is that sometimes people believe their own hype. you believe your own. I remember one time there was a pastor and he was saying that he was really good at American football. He was an American pastor, and so he was really good at American football at college level, and he had all these press clippings, and he would cut them out because he'd be in the local newspaper and he would read them, and he preached a sermon, and basically he said, sometimes you can believe your own press clippings. And some of us can start to be like that. That people say things about you that don't really know anything. And you can start to believe it. You can start to believe it. That's a very dangerous place to be. Let me tell you something which is dangerous. Two things that you need to balance in your life. Criticism, because not all criticism is from God. People can criticize you. You've got to weigh it up. Some people are going to say things about you, and you're going to have to weigh some things up. To me, when I look at criticism, do they love God? Do they love His church? Do they love me? If they tick all those boxes, then you know what? Let me hear it. But even sometimes people talk nonsense, and I can pick a little bit of truth out of it. But not all criticism. And so sometimes people are going to criticize. Don't fold. Don't collapse. I'm leaving. That's just look. But not only is not all criticism valuable, not all praise is valuable. Not when everybody's saying things about you. Oh, sis, you're so, and you're so this, and you're so that. She don't even know you, man. She only been in church twice. Because you said, come and sit next to me, and you gave her half of your Snickers. So now she loves you. She thinks you're the best thing since Jesus. I mean, no, that don't mean that you're the best thing since Jesus. It's dangerous to have assumption. You know, you're believing your own hype. You've hyped yourself up. See, we see this in the scriptures because remember in Smyrna, Jesus says, you say you're poor, but I say you're rich. Remember Jesus says that? Jesus says, the way that you think of yourself, there could be some, I've said this before and I'll say it again. There could be some people here, you think, oh, I don't even deserve to be here. I'm on the last leg here. You know what? I don't even deserve to be here. And God says, no. It's not as bad as all that. And there are some people here, you think, yeah, I got it going on. Why is she here? Why is he here? And God would be looking at you saying, listen, why are you here? See, when you start to assume that you've got it, you think everything is together. You know some of the famous last words that I've experienced? Pastor, I'm okay. Pastor, I know what I'm doing. See, the most dangerous place to be in life is when you are self-deceived. When you are self, it's one thing to deceive others. And one of the things that I've experienced in life is when people become very good at deceiving others, eventually they start to deceive themselves. Because you start to believe the very lies that you're telling others. And now you become self-deceived. And you cannot see what everyone else sees. This is dangerous. And this is what Jesus is addressing here. He's saying, listen, you guys think you're alive, man. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. The question will be is, how do we fix this? How do we fix this problem? Well, Jesus kind of, you know, shows us how to fix it. But before I really go into how he details it, in the text he says this, if you will not watch, I will come like a thief. If you do not watch, look at someone and say, watch out. Yeah, if you don't watch, the Bible says that Jesus is going to come like a thief. That don't mean that Jesus is looking to, you know, rob people's houses and mop, come in there and, you know, nick your TV or your couch or your bed. What he's saying is that he's going to come unexpected, like how a thief comes. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he will walk naked and they see his shame. You think about it, Jesus says, this is it, behold, I will come like a thief. And he says, you need to, blessed is the one who's watching and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they will see his shame. Imagine if I go to Tucson conference and I say to you, would you look after my house while I go, my flat? Here's the key. I've got a key. Here's a key. And just you know, stay here, watch it, watch over it, house it. And so you say, yep, no problem. I'll do that. And you expect me to be gone for a certain amount of time. And halfway in the week, you come out of the shower with your towel on. And you see me and my wife come through the door. We just come through the door, just randomly, like, oh, my days. You'd be like, Pastor, I didn't expect you yet. And so there's an embarrassing moment. Like, good gosh. But if I told you, if I said, I don't know, someone's asking Siri questions. What does he mean, Siri? If I told you, listen, could you look after my house? I don't know what time I'm going to come back. I could come any time of night, any time. You would make sure, you know, get in the shower. Okay, I'm going to make sure. Listen, because he might come. I mean, you'd position yourself differently. If you think someone can come any minute, you wouldn't just be walking around the house with just your birthday suit on. Just, you know, lying. Actually, better not be. Because you'll be shamed. You'll be found uncovered. The personal things, the private things about your life that you don't want everybody to see can be exposed. Jesus says, listen, I'm coming when you do not expect. And he says, what's going to happen is if you're not watching and ready, when I come, the things in your life that you do not want people to know, they're going to know. You're going to be found naked. Naked means uncovered. You're going to be found, you're going to feel ashamed. Matthew 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Look at someone and say, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. What Jesus is saying here is that when you are coasting, it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. When you are just coasting, when you are not even engaging yourself in your spiritual development anymore, you're just coasting to church. You're comfortable at the level you're at. And now you're just coasting here, coasting there. There are some people, they actually want a church that allows them to coast. There are some people that, you know, they don't want to find a church that preaches sermons of conviction. See, what conviction is an awakening. Look at how dangerous you are going to the edge. When you are driving on the motorway, there is those lines on the hard shoulder. And as you're driving on the motorway, if you drift onto those hard shoulder lines, they've got ridges in them, bumps in them, and you start to feel the car go, and you rectify. Because if you continue on that course, you will crash and probably die. And that's what conviction is. You're coming to church on a course and you've started to drift. You've started to allow yourself to drift. You think what you are. Yeah, I'm on fire for God. I love God. I'm here. Look at me. Look at the ministry I'm in. Pastor wouldn't give me this ministry if I wasn't on fire for God. People wouldn't say those things. And then, but you're drifting. You don't. You think you're alive. You don't know that you're dead, dying, withering. And then all of a sudden, that's the conviction. Because God loves you. Because He loves you. And He's saying, listen, awaken. Otherwise, there's going to come a day. This is the posture of the Christian, watchful. You know, so many times in the Bible, it tells people to watch. Watch. If you think about that, if you say, keep saying, watch. Yo, just watch. Just watch. Watch. You say, yeah, something's going to happen. That's what we would assume. Diligent, vigilant, careful. In the text, he uses these words: remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Remember. Many things in life I've forgotten. You know, how many know you can just forget things? Someone tells you something, oh, I forgot it. Let me give you a little fact here. You forget things because you don't really care about them. I know you don't want to admit it because you forgot something. Maybe you forgot your wife's birthday. But you forget things that are just not important to you. I have never forgot to make a sermon since I've been a pastor. I've never once turned up to church and be like, praise God, during praise and worship. Strength arises, we wait. Oh my days. My days. Quickly. How many know? I've never seen a bride come down the aisle and then she's in jeans and trainers. You forgot your dress. You forgot your dress. Oh my days. How many have ever seen it? Never. Because what is important to you, you remember. When it's important, you remember it. I never forgot to go to work. I never forgot to go to work. Like God, now some of you have. Some of you have. And then you wonder why the boss was like, listen, man, how can you forget to come? No, I love this job, man. It's really important to me. What Jesus, why am I said that? Because once, listen, if we give you something, if I said to you, hey, you see this? And I had a key, and I said, this is a car key for a brand new, and we can fill it in, brand new Mercedes, brand new BMW, brand new Lamborghini, if that's your thing, brand new Porsche, brand new, whatever it is, brand new, here it is, go down to the showroom, collect it. I guarantee no one would lose that key. I guarantee I wouldn't get any calls. Pastor, is anybody at the building? You know the key you gave me, no. Some of you would be squeezing it, man. You'd squeeze it so tight that the imprint of the brand would be on your hand. Because what is important to us, we remember. Jesus is telling us, listen, you need to remember some things, man. You need to put some things back in a place of priority. You need to put some spiritual disciplines back into a place of priority. You've got to put those things. You've got to work at those things. Because if you don't work with those things, do you know what life does? Life starts to give you priorities. Life starts to automatically shuffle the deck. And it, one time Jesus was at the top, and then life starts to give you things. Yeah, now you got a job. Now you're getting married. Now you got to pay rent. Now you got this problem. Now you got that problem. Now you're sick. Now you got kids. And all of a sudden, without even deliberately pushing Jesus down, forgetting Jesus, he starts to get pushed down the priority list. And you've got to remember, get up every day, remember, get up every day, remember. Remember every day. No, Jesus, back on top. I know I gotta go up. Jesus, back on top. You've gotta remember, because he says this, remember what you've received and heard. He says, you guys got saved. Go back to what it was. Remember. Because what happened is you've forgotten those original things, the salvation, the grace, the mercy, heaven and hell. Hopeless sinner, lost on their way to hell. You've forgotten these things, and now you've moved on. Yeah, I'm on fire for God. And God looks at you and says, are you mad? Are you nuts? Look at you. You're dying. This is what Jesus is telling them. He says, listen, be watchful. He says, I'm coming at any moment. I'm coming at any moment. Imagine just saying to yourself, you know what? I don't know what happened there. People are laughing. I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm not well. Have mercy on me. Yeah, this is a good sermon considering I'm sick, man. Imagine you hear da-da-da-da, trumpet in the sky. Psh, like lightning. Jesus is coming back. But a month ago you left church. For that guy. You're lying next to that guy. You're in the club with that girl. Yeah, she's woo, scantily clad. Brothers are looking at you as you walk in. You're like, yes, I'm rolling now. You're in the club. Da-da-da-da. You're at the bar. Drop your glass, man. You think about it now. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to come when no one expects. I'm going to come when no one expects. You got to be ready. You got to be watchful, man. You got to be ready. You got to be watchful. He could come before this service ends. He could come before this service ends. Listen, if he comes, I'm gone. I'm gone. My car's out there. Keys are in this pocket here. Take it. My wallet will be here. You can take the house. I'm gone. Me and my wife are gone. It's got a full tank. Because Antichrist is coming for you, bro. You better just. This is the real deal. This is the real. Anytime he says, listen, watch. Because if you don't watch, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. I'm going to come when you wasn't expecting it. I was going to come when you was coasting. When you just thought, let me just nip out of church for where I'm young. I want to have fun. And then I'll come back when I'm old. Who told you you're going to get old? Pastor, I want to overcome this. This death. First thing, you got to be honest. This is very hard. You got to be honest. Remember, Jesus says you're dead. You're saying you're alive. You got to be honest. You just got to be honest. God, where am I? You got to be honest, man. Stop playing the game. Stop believing your hype. Be honest. The second thing, you got to be humble. You got to humble yourself, man. You got to get down and just say, listen, I don't know what I think I've been telling people I know. You got to be honest. Because humble. People that are not honest, he's going to catch them out. People that are not humble, he's going to catch them out. You may need to, you do need to, but at a certain level, accountable. You need to be accountable, willing to be accountable. Let people speak into your life and see who you really are. No man is an island. When people can't speak into your life, this is how you become deceived. This is how you start to believe things about yourself. Because you don't let nobody speak to you. No one can correct you. No one can push you. No one can drive you. No one can show you anything about yourself. And it's very safe when you live like that. It's very safe to live like that. You posture yourself like, listen, I don't want no one up in here talking to me, you know. Yeah, I come here, but listen, no, I'm not that. Listen, I'm not, no, brown nose. No, I don't follow man. No one's around here telling, no. And so people, you project that, and people see it, they're like, okay, maybe better not tell him anything, better not tell her anything. And we just leave you. And you know what it is? In your own mind. The human mind is an amazing machine. The human mind can imagine anything. You can dream that you're an astronaut on the moon. Walking around on the moon. You could dream it. That don't make it so. That don't make it so. This is how things in the mind, you imagine things in the mind. And sometimes you need to get around people. Sometimes I've said things. I've been around other pastors and said things. And then I just thought, yeah, actually, that don't even make no sense. I said, no, I don't think it's that. Don't forget that scripture and that scripture. You know what? I didn't even think of that. Because nobody has it all. No one has it all. Once you start to leave a man to himself, he becomes a weirdo. Yes. She becomes a weirdo. Yes. You start to come up with funky doctrines. Yes. You start to think things about yourself, and people are like, honest, humble, accountable, willing to change. Willing to change. Are you willing to change? No, really. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to change? If God puts his finger on you, if God starts to speak to you, if God says this or that, are you willing to change? Are you really willing to change? Or do you want what you want no matter what? See, if you have that posture, you are an overcomer. You're able to overcome anything that the enemy puts at you. And the Bible says, Jesus says, listen, I will clothe you. That I love that. I will clothe you with a white garment. White garment is purity. He's going to give us a garment of purity to cover who we really are. How many know none of us don't deserve grace? How many know there's no one here that can stand up here and say, Pastor, I'm pure. I'm so pure of your own doing. No, it's Jesus, man. See, Jesus is willing to give us a garment. He has to give us the garment that covers the nakedness, covers the shameful things that you've done. The shameful things, the things that the devil tries to always keep dragging up from your past. And I'm ashamed that I did that. Jesus says, don't worry, listen, I'm going to cover it. I'm going to cover it, man. No one's going to see that. No one ain't going to know about that. When they look at you, you know what they're going to see? A white garment. And he says, I'm going to put your name in my book. Jesus has a VIP list. Jesus has a list. I remember in the world, people would have lists. You would go to a certain event or to maybe a club or something, and people would have a list. And if their name was on the list, they could just walk past everybody and go in. There's a VIP list. Well, listen, I don't want to be on the world's VIP list. But I want to be on Jesus's VIP list. This is my mad imagination, but when all the nations are lining up to be judged because they refuse to serve Jesus, and there'll be some people from Wandsworth in there, hopefully not Potter's House Wandsworth, but there will be some people from the borough of Wandsworth in there, lining up ready to get judged. It's a formality. You're already going to hell, but he's going to show you why you're going to hell. You're going to be judged. He's going to open a book. Yeah, remember you lied? Remember you stole? Remember you lied? And you lied again? And then you stole? Imagine that's going to be mad. And you will not be able to say one word. Yeah, I'll give God a thing or two. No, you will stand, bow, see God, and be judged. But when all the nations are standing there, they're like, no, no, come up. You, no, no, come here. Come up as VIP. Your name is in the book. Your name is in his book. Do you know that's what we should be living for? In our text, he says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in a white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. This is very deep. This is very deep. You know, that would almost say that his name, that person's name was in the book, and he took it out of the book. So I don't know. Can your name be in the book and then God takes it out the book? That's what he said. I will not blot his name out. I don't want to even find out. I just want my name in there. Because if the Bible says anyone who's not found written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. How many here? You have put your trust in Jesus and you have received him as your Savior. Put up your hand. Then your name is in his book. Your name is in his book. How many believe their name is in the book? My name's in the book. I believe my name's in the book. Okay, so if your name is in the book, listen to this scripture, Luke 10 verse 20. Nevertheless, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. They were going out, casting out demons, and they come back. They're like, whoa, we was just casting out demons. We was doing all types of things. People were being set free. There was powerful manifestations. How many know we would like that? See people saved and all of this, and demons coming out, people being healed, and powerful manifestations. Maybe we could pray and we get that job, or we get that husband, or we get that wife, or we get that house, or we get all the things we want. Powerful manifestations. Jesus says, do not rejoice in that, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Amen. How many of you today got up and said, thank you, Jesus, my name is written in heaven? How many Christians regularly think about that? My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. One day I'm going to stand before my God and he will read out my name in front of his Father, in front of the angels. That's what he says. He says, listen, if you will overcome, if you will watch, if you will stay disciplined, if you will seek me, there'll come a day when everybody, all of the nations, all of heaven and everything, and I will confess your name before my Father. I will say, I know you. Courtney, come. Imagine when you hear his voice say your name. Imagine when you hear his voice. Listen, every struggle, every problem, everything will melt away in a second when you hear him say your name. There's some women here, you're waiting for a man to say your name. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But a man, Jesus, will say your name. Amen. And that's going to mean more. Maybe there's men here, you want men, other men to talk about you. Hey, he's a man, look at him, he's doing this, look at his car, look at his muscles, look at his this, look at his that, look at his house. You want men, notoriety, to say your name. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But he will say your name. Do you live for that? Are you watching for that? He will confess your name before his Father. And that is what we live for. Let us look at ourselves, because this letter really drives us to that, and look and say, you know what? God, I want your spirit to really search me. Where really am I? Where am I? Let me say this at this point. This is not for condemnation to slip in. Don't sit here and now condemnation. Say, I'm not saved, I'm rubbish. No, that's condemnation. That's not of the Spirit of God. It's not of the Spirit of God. What it is to say, you know what, God? I see some things you're putting your finger on. Change me. Change me. I'm not going to fight it no more. Change me. Have your way. Have your way. Lord, I just want you. I want you. I want to know that I'm not going to coast. I don't have to... yes, I've got it all together. You know, when I became a pastor, I decided very early on, I said, you listen, I'm not going to act like I got everything together now. It's stupid. Because the Saturday before, I was a disciple. Now, by Saturday night, I'm the pastor. Sunday, I'm preaching in the church. And now I'm like, hello, brother. How do you know? How do you do? I said, that's stupid. You know, I'm not going to wash my dirty laundry in front of everybody and cry. And, you know, but it's silly to project. And that's how some people are living, man. Projecting like you got everything together. Like, listen, none of us got nothing together. Jesus is holding us together. Jesus is holding us together. That's not an excuse for sin or rebellion. I've already preached the whole thing. I'm not going to preach it again. But what I'm saying is coming to that altar and saying, God, fix me, man. Just come and fix me. Fix this old heart. Give me a new heart. Listen, let me say this, and I say this out of the inspiration of the Spirit of God. God doesn't want to fix your heart. He wants to give you a new heart. Amen. He doesn't want to. And that's the problem with some people. You know what it is? You think your heart only needs fixing. You think your heart only needs fixing. When any organs in your body have cancer, they have to remove it. They can't just fix it. They have to remove it. They have to neutralize it. And the Bible says that our heart is sick. It is sick. And today we want to come down and say, God, I want a new heart. I'm watching. I want to take care of what you've given me. I'm going for Jesus. Amen. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.